So today is Palm Sunday. We're going to observe Lord's Supper in conjunction with that. I appreciate Delm is taking care of the needs with those elements for observing the Lord's Supper today. And here's what we're going to do. I want you to turn to John chapter 12 as we think about Palm Sunday in conjunction with the Lord's Supper. And I've entitled this Confusion Upon Entry. Well, some of us have confusion upon entry, do we not? Sometimes you walk into some circumstances and some places and you're like, what in the world am I doing here and what is going on, right? And I don't think I've ever thought of the Lord's Supper or thought of Palm Sunday in that way before. So I wanted today to read just a few verses in John's account. I knew that we wouldn't have a lot of time, so since our time is short, we're going to read the shortest account of Palm Sunday. And you know that this thing called Palm Sunday starts this Passion Week or Holy Week leading up to the Resurrection Sunday. John does not describe the approach into Jerusalem in great detail. He doesn't really mention as much gathering the disciples going to get a prearranged donkey. He doesn't mention taking garments and putting them on top of the animal, putting Jesus on the animal. But this is the exact same setting. So in verse 12 of chapter 12, John gives us his account, a brief account, and he says, on the next day, much people, or a great multitude, that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees, and they went forth to meet him, and they cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat thereon, as it is written, quoting the Old Testament, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming. He comes sitting on a donkey's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered these things were written of him, and that they had done these things to him. Let me give you two words today as we go through this really, really quickly. Word number one is identification. In verse 12, very clearly they identify who this man is coming into Jerusalem. I want you to look at it. The next day it says there were many people, a great multitude. And as they were coming there to the Passover feast. Now, I don't know the exact numbers. I have read that hundreds of thousands of people may have been in Jerusalem for this Passover. We're talking about a huge multitude of people. And as this multitude is gathered together, basically, wild enthusiasm broke out. Now, it says in verse 12 that when they looked up, they heard that it was Jesus coming to Jerusalem. Can I say this to you? I promise you in the first century, nobody had any problem identifying who Jesus was, literally. They knew him as a carpenter's son. They knew him as a man from Nazareth. And when they looked up and they saw with this donkey and what's about to happen, they knew exactly who it was who was coming to town. So there is identification, the very start of this Palm Sunday. Let me give you word number two as we hurry up to get into the observance of the Lord's Supper today. And this is going to be the key word. You may not have thought of it this way, but there was confusion. In fact, I think that a lot of what Jesus did in the first century, people are still trying to figure him out. And there's some who believe he's the Son of God. There's some who believe that this is the Messiah we've been waiting for. And there's others doubting. And there's confusion, especially with the religious leaders. And they really don't get it. So we read in the story that as he is making his way into Jerusalem, that they take branches of palm trees. Now, if you like some Bible trivia, it is only John who specifically mentions palm branches. Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't mention that. They mention, you know, branches, but it's John that says, in particular, there were palm branches, and thus we call this Palm Sunday. The palm tree, the palm branch, a symbol of victory and triumph. So the Bible says, as they take the branches of the palm trees, they go forth to meet him, and they're crying out using this word, Hosanna. Now, if you speak in the Hebrew tongue, you will know that the word Hosanna basically means, please save or save now. And so what they're thinking is, when Jesus comes in the town, they're thinking, well, yes, Messiah, but more than that, King that's going to overthrow Rome and give us some freedom. Right? I mean, it's a political type of Savior. So they cry out for Hosanna. It becomes a more of a shout of praise. And they say in their shout of praise, Blessed is the King of Israel. Blessed is the one that comes in the name of the Lord. Now they're quoting there the Old Testament. They're quoting the book of Psalms, Messianic Psalm in 118. And another little bit of trivia in verse 13, John is also the only gospel writer in this passage that says here he is a king of Israel. The others say he is coming in the name of the Lord. But John focuses on more of the kingship, and that's part of what I think causes the confusion. So they line the streets. They're cheering as Jesus comes by, waiting for this political deliverance. And here's the deal. They use the word king in verse 13, but do not fully understand. And there is confusion. So here's what John says. In verse 14, it says, what happened in that context is Jesus comes along, and to prove who he is in fulfillment of Old Testament scripture, he goes and finds a donkey. And then what John does is quotes their Bible. Okay, he quotes a word of God. He quotes the book of Zechariah here in verse 15. And he says, this is what the Bible says. Do not fear, people of Israel, calling them daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming. And he's sitting on a donkey or a donkey's colt. So he identifies exactly the prophecy that would tell and prove to them that Jesus is their Messiah. Now the donkey, of course, is not a war horse. The donkey is an animal of humility. The donkey is an animal of peace. And so when this king comes in, they're thinking king, and they're lining the streets, and they're cheering and waving palm branches. They're thinking, wow, man, there's excitement here. We're going to have independence and freedom from all the Roman tyranny. And they're all excited about it. And y'all, they missed the point. And we know that because as we continue with it, in verse 16, John then says, let me tell y'all what happened on that day. The things that happened, they did not understand. They were confused. They didn't quite get it. But he says, when Jesus was glorified, okay, now when he was raised from the dead, then they looked back on that previous Sunday and they realized, and you know what? These are the things done that were written of him, and we actually saw this back on the previous Sunday. Okay? So I think in this, I would say there's identification. I know who he is, but there is confusion. Don't really understand what he was about. Let me give you a quick story on that, and then we'll switch to the Lord's Supper. So sometimes I do think there are some words that can confuse us a bit, and sometimes it can become a little bit comical. So there was a guy, I don't know now how long ago it was, and he was a pizza delivery guy while he was in college. And he's thinking, I've got college loans to pay and I need some extra income. So he goes to deliver pizzas on the side. So he said, what happened is he had a family call in for a pizza order, and they sent their 7-year-old son to the door. So he notices as the 7-year-old son is making his way to the door that the child has a check in one hand and has $2 bills in the other hand. So he's thinking, right? You start thinking, it's like, well, the check is going to be for the pizza and the dollar bills are probably for the tip. Now here's what happened. You talk about confusion upon entry. Here's what happened. So the little boy is running there to the door and got the pizza man there, and he's got the pizza. And he notices right before the little boy gets to the door, he takes the $2 and sticks it in his pocket. The pizza delivery man is trying to be tactful here, so he gives him the pizza. He takes the check and notices that the check is only written for the amount of the pizza. He's like, all right, how do I handle? Because the boy's gotten confused a little bit with the tip part. So he's like, I don't know how to handle this. So he says, he looked at the little boy and he said, perhaps maybe was that the tip? Okay, now you talk about some confusion. Here's what the boy said. He said, yep, that's not bad for a walk from the living room and back, is it? You talk about some confusion upon entry there, right? Sometimes a word can like bring some confusion. You know what it did for them when they heard the word king? It brought some confusion. Oh, and they had an idea of a king on a white horse and a king on a throne and a king with a crown. And they're thinking, yes, we got it now. And they didn't realize the reason Jesus came was to die. He was to be a Savior. And so that's what leads us today to the Lord's Supper. And so let me, as we transition into that, I'll leave you with this thought again super quick because I wanted to share more about Cassandra. But let me say this, as you think about Palm Sunday and the entrance that Jesus had into Jerusalem, headed down that valley, knowing he would be rejected and would be crucified, He did come as their king. They didn't quite get it. But I'll tell you this, at the end of the book of Revelation, when he comes again, he will come as a victorious king. And he will set up a kingdom, and he will have a crown, and he will have a throne. And we're going to get there as we move through the book of Revelation. But for us today, what's important is he did come as their king, but he also came to be king in your life. Okay? And as we today think about Palm Sunday, we get ready for the excitement of next Sunday. I am so excited to see Cassandra here. I'm excited about hearing the choir singing. I'm excited about seeing Liz's costumes and everything set up here. I'm excited about seeing Trisha's kids as they're acting things out, working through. I'm excited about that. But don't miss this point. He came as king. And he wants to be king in your life. Okay? And if you take that from Easter this year, I think you will hit the nail on the head. So as we turn today to the Lord's Supper, this is a reminder that Jesus came, obviously king, but he came to die and came as a Savior. I want to remind you with the Lord's Supper that it's not just a religious ritual. We don't tack this on to the end of a service just to say we did it. Some churches do that. We don't do that. But we understand that when you take that little wafer of bread, that represents Jesus' broken body. A body that was beaten, a body that was stabbed, a body that was whipped, a body that bled, a body that endured all that suffering. That little piece of bread represents his body that was broken. And then when you take that little cup, the crushed fruit of the vine, it is a reminder of Jesus being crushed and his blood being poured out for our forgiveness of sin. Okay, if I can quote Cassandra real quick. To be a broken cistern, that's not good for anything anymore. Right? It doesn't hold water. It's taken to the dump, throw it away. And yet God repairs that and heals that and uses that. Okay, that's what the blood does. And I was so thankful as we started and Michael was kind of introducing that he prayed in light of the blood as we think about this Lord's Supper today. So as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, I want to read to you what Paul shared with the church at Corinth. When it comes to the Lord's Supper, he says, therefore, as y'all meet at the church to observe this, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation or condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause, many are weak and sick among you, and many even sleep. They are speaking euphemistically of death in the Corinthian church. So the Lord's Supper is a very important ordinance that we follow. So what we do as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, we have a couple of cautions and things to think about. Number one, the Lord's Supper is only for those who know Christ as Savior. And if you're not saved, you don't know Him in that way, you're going to have an opportunity in just a moment as we pray where you can turn your life over to Him, right? You can just say, Lord, I'm a mess. I'm a broken cistern. I'm a sinner. You died for me. I believe in You. I want You to save my soul. I live my life for You, okay? That's your salvation, is turning your life over to Him and trusting Him. But most of you in here are saved. And so the important thing is, where is your heart and how is your heart today, right? My prayer is, Lord, is there anything between me and You this morning that I can confess, that I can ask forgiveness, that I can receive cleansing, so then I can partake in a worthy manner. Okay, that really is what I think Paul is talking about in this passage. So, let's bow as we prepare today for observing the Lord's Supper. And as we are bowed together, I'm going to be quiet in just a moment, give you the opportunity to prepare your heart, your soul today. If you've got something going on in your life that you need to ask forgiveness for, you can do so during this time. The Bible says we confess our sins. He's faithful. He's just. He'll forgive us so we can partake in a worthy manner. And it may be, I mean, honestly, you may be in a place in life today where you just don't feel it's right to partake. Let me say, there is nothing wrong with abstaining. There is nothing wrong with abstaining. If you just don't feel like things are right. But let's pray. Just silently prepare our hearts today. Maybe your prayer is one unto salvation. Your prayer may be one of confession. We don't go through a Catholic priest. We go straight to God with that because of Jesus, our great high priest. So you confess to him through him. But you prepare your heart. Anything not right between you and your heavenly Father, heart not clean, ask for his cleansing. Holy Spirit will do that. And then you'll be prepared to partake in a worthy manner today as we memorialize Jesus' death. So I'm going to be quiet as we pray and thank and reflect on that and prepare for the Lord's Supper. Say too, the altar area is always available. If you feel the need to kneel today in prayer, that is fine. You may do so. So, Father, we thank you for the quiet moment to think through where we stand with you. And I know if we're all honest, there's not a one of us who is worthy to partake, but for the blood of the Lamb of God that cleanses, makes us whiter than snow. Lord, we thank you for the broken body and the shed blood. Thank you for hearing our prayers of confession a moment ago and for removing our iniquity, removing the guilt so that we can partake in a worthy manner as unworthy people. Bless our time today. Give us that reminder of all it cost for us to know you, to have peace in life, to have purpose in life, and to truly rejoice in the resurrection and the eternal future. We pray your blessings upon our observance, and we lift up to you our prayers in Jesus' saving name. Amen. As you take your little combo cup, Paul gives instructions to the church at Corinth. They were a church like us, people trying to do the best they could to understand the truth and live for Christ and follow him. And so Paul says, I want y'all to know when it comes to the Lord's Supper, I have received from Jesus himself that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, He took the bread there at the Passover meal. And when he had given thanks for it, he literally broke it to symbolize his broken body. And he said, take and eat. This is my body. It's broken. It's broken for y'all. And this do in remembrance of me. And then Paul continued as he recounted that Last Supper meal Jesus had with his close disciples. And he said, after the same manner they had the cups of the Passover on the table, after the same manner also he took the cup when they had supped, when they had eaten together. And he said, listen, y'all, this is a y'all, this isn't all of you, this is the plural. This cup that you're drinking, I want you to know something. This is a New Testament. It's a new covenant. Remember, we got the old covenant. This is a new covenant, and it's in my blood. I don't think they understood that. Remember the confusion? I don't think they understood that. It's in my blood. So this do ye, all of you, as often as you drink of this cup, and do it in remembrance of me. And then when Paul concluded this section to the believers at Corinth, he said, I want you as a church to know, as often as you eat of that bread and you drink of that cup, kind of instituting the Lord's Supper, you are showing or proclaiming the Lord's death. Okay, we're memorializing his death, but he says it's until he comes. So one day will be the last time we observe this supper together. This is pointing to Revelation chapter 19, the return of Christ as our eternal King. So today, we have been in memory of the death of Jesus on the cross. This is going to lead us now through this Passion Week and into next Sunday as we celebrate and as we focus on His resurrection from the grave.